Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. After Memorial Day, this is the official start of summer, at least for Winthrop Capital Management. So we got a lot to cover this morning. So a framework to understand the kind of the investment environment that we're in right now is really how to translate the coronavirus into investable pieces. So we break the we're breaking the impact that the coronavirus has separately into the economy, the financial system, and then separately into the capital markets. And we also break it into two stages. The first stage, which we are coming out of now, is just the sheer impact that it had in bringing the economy to a halt. The second part of it now is how to analyze companies as they ramp back up. And now many companies have are saddled with debt, which they borrowed heavily in order to survive this period of time. Other companies, particularly in the energy sector, have just chosen to go bankrupt because their business models can't support it. So this is really a test not only of a company's ability to navigate, but also business models that are flat out broken or stressed. And business models that are stressed might include higher education, which we don't think of necessarily as a business model, but it affects municipal bonds that are issued by universities. The travel industry, particularly the airlines. So we'll go into that later. But right now we've got in analyzing the impact on the economy, we're in that stage now where we're starting to turn things back on. And I don't know about you guys, but for me, I'm kind of, it's a relief to be able to at least go out and still practice social distancing, but at least to go outside and be in community with others has been a relief. But the impact on the domestic economy has just been awful. We're down 4.8% first quarter in GDP growth. Second quarter is going to be just as bad. So the what I want to just focus on here briefly is not so much the impact on the U.S. We're going to get into that when we talk about earnings here in a second. But what's going on in Europe, and this is absolutely important to how we analyze the risks in the capital markets today, because Europe does not have the same toolkit that the United States has. We're a one common federation under a republic here that we have common taxing authority, common currencies, common debt issuance, and there's parenthetically here a lot of debt issuance. In Europe, each country issues its own debt. Each country has its own taxing authority, yet they share a common currency, the euro. And it's a co-op. It's a membership organization. And so in order to provide the stimulus that they need in order to help the countries, there are some countries, particularly Italy, that just flat out can't afford it. So the richer companies have subsidized the ones that can't afford it. That's created a paradigm here that's not been an equal playing field. This has been going on, obviously, for years. And just the coronavirus itself has really pulled back the veneer and exposed it. So now they are talking about a common currency, euro currency issuance, a debt issuance to help support stimulus for countries that need it. And there has been some big pushback. I know Germany's split on this, but Germany's right now for it. As a country, as a sovereign entity, I think it's going to be a challenge, though. But Austria, the Netherlands, Sweden have come out and said that it's just a non-starter. So this whole issue about can they afford stimulus to even get the European Union out of the recession that they're in right now is going to be a real challenge. It's going to weigh on the markets. They've used debt, individual country debt in Italy has been the worst in terms of racking up a huge debt burden, and that's going to weigh on the euro, on Europe and the euro. So with that, let me transition it over to Freddie, and we can talk about earnings and what we're doing in portfolio and model portfolios.
Thanks, Greg. So we are pretty much through the earnings season with 95% of companies in the S&P reporting. We have had a 60% beat on sales. 66% of the companies have beaten on earnings. Healthcare and Infotech have had the highest percentage of companies that have beat, with 81% and 77%. These are also the top two performing sectors. Technology specifically up 5% for the year, and healthcare outperforming the index, falling just 2.5% this year. Year-over-year earnings have fallen 13%, which have beaten expectations, although expectations were fairly low. Expect next quarter to be even worse, as that's when the impact of the virus will be more reflected across the company earnings. But last week, they wrapped up with some retailers reporting. So just to cover a few, Walmart reported a pretty great quarter with revenue up 8% year over year. Earnings beat expectations. Same store sales grew 10%. And then e-commerce sales grew by 74%, which was well above last quarter. International sales and Sam's Club were both up, and shares were up 4% on their earnings release. Lowe's also reported a beat on earnings and revenue. Big beat on same-store sales with 11% growth versus 3.3% expected. Gross margins were up 160 bips. Operating margins were up 210 bips. And then Lowe's.com finally had a good quarter, first one I've ever seen, with sales increasing 80%. So the stock was up 7% on its earnings release. So two good quarters out of some retailers. And then finally, one not so good quarter, I guess, fairly mixed. Target came out. They had really good digital sales, up 141%. Same store sales were up 11%. However, their profit was impacted with higher labor costs and a fall in sales of higher margin items. So stuff like food was up 20%, but then you had apparel down 20%. So their margins were squeezed. The stock still rose about 1% on earnings. So that's all I had on earnings. Turn it back over to you, Ray.
Yeah, thanks. So this is a loaded question, but how do you analyze earnings through this period? Because you've got revenue is declining. It's just difficult to predict profit margins because companies have cut costs, particularly in the labor area, either through furloughs or just cut labor. So do you have any advice or words of wisdom on how to navigate analyzing earnings, especially going into the second quarter now?
It's really tough to tell. I mean, you could just tell through estimates right now. For the second quarter, at least, I'm seeing anywhere from 20 to 35% drops year over year from all sorts of analysts. So that's a very big range from last year, from the second quarter of last year.
Well, and I go back to our top five. You know, we picked five stocks to weather the storm here. And when we look at those five stocks, you can look at the revenue on those types of companies are actually, they're much more predictable than what we're seeing in the consumer sectors and the industrial sectors in particular. So I take some comfort in being able to, like Microsoft and you know, Facebook had really good earnings last week. I think the stock hit an all-time high last week.
Yeah, it did.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's, anything on the model portfolio side, Freddie or Adam?
Nothing to report from last week. Just continuing to be in risk-off mode.
Yeah. Awesome. So we transitioned back into the office. So we moved our traders back in 2 weeks ago, and then last week we moved some more of the team. So that my read is that process is going pretty well. We had to change the seating chart to make sure that we got everybody appropriately distanced, and the big bottleneck was just me cleaning off my trading desk. I think that set us back. Has anybody gone out and eaten at a restaurant yet?
Nope.
Not yet. So when do you guys see that that's something that you would feel comfortable doing?
I would probably do it now. There's nothing really holding me back other than finding someone else to go with. I think that's probably the biggest issue.
I think I do it. I think I'm okay with it. It's just got to get over that awkwardness of just being where you're sitting and dealing with the face mask and all that. Charlie, when does Chicago sports get turned on? Do we know?
Dude, who knows?
Is there a Chicago sports update?
As pretty much any sports update is pretty national at this point. I mean, the MLB is having this salary impasse between the owners and the Players Association. The NBA is going to do this campus style, if they can actually get a turnaround, campus style tournament, something else in Disney World, which that would be pretty interesting to watch. They're really nothing. Players leaving Butler, players coming into Butler. I don't have much to report.
I saw. That's a separate program. Did you see the Netflix special on Michael Jordan?
Oh yeah,
that looked interesting. Not to get on our rabbit trail, but I've been watching Dead to Me with Christina Applegate, and she's come a long way since Married with Children. That is a very intense show. Okay, let's shift over to the bond side. Adam, you want to walk us through what's been going on with the new issue market and investment grade?
Yeah, so it's pretty quiet week last week. Volatility, new issue, pretty much everything was quiet. It was just under 30 billion issued last week. So coming off several weeks of high issuance, we saw spreads tighten with the quieter markets. Depending on what sector you're looking at, the overall index was tighter by over 10 basis points, but A-rated banks were tighter by over 20 basis points. So a lot of performance last week. And then this week, I think issuance is going to be still pretty muted as we go into the summer months. I think we'll see that quiet down. You'll obviously see trading in general tend to fall off, but I think that will help support spreads. So last week in our total return portfolios, we were taking credit off with things tightening up. We were overweight credit. So across our strategies, just reducing the basis closer to the index last week. Really what we're looking at is we want to, as Fred even said, we want to move into that kind of more defensive mode. We know that the Fed is there kind of helping to support the markets. But as you said, Greg, this has been a period where we've got companies levering up while growth is slowing, and that's never going to lead to anything good. So I think we want to kind of be more defensive here, going up in quality, whether it's corporates or treasuries. And then just in the municipal land, you kind of hit on that as well. So munis are still cheap to treasuries. So 10s and 30s are still trading 20 wide of treasuries. But we really want to stick in that essential service space in municipals. University bonds, convention centers, event centers, we want to stay away from right here. There's obvious impacts from the coronavirus will hurt those type of business models. So staying away there. But overall, municipals still look cheap in relative terms. So still buyers there.
Yeah, one of the issues that has not been dealt with since the financial crisis is the unfunded pension liabilities for the public pension systems. And I think this has also helped to kind of rip the Band-Aid off of particularly states like Illinois and New Jersey, where the public pension, the unfunded pension liabilities are still at levels where they were at back in 2008, 2009. That's another problem to add to the problem list. Charlie, on your end, anything in the high yield space?
Yeah, so I echo a lot of what Adam said in an investment grade. High yield tightened a whopping 72 basis points last week. So we're at the lowest level since mid-March, but we're still about 350 bips wide of the year-end levels. This performance is due to both investor sentiment and technical pressure from new issuance supply easing up. U.S. high yield fund flows continue their streak of meaningful net buying. Over $1.5 billion flooded into ETFs. So that's showing that retail investors are still reaching for these high level of income. Although we would caution to really know what you're buying before you get it. as we're going with this risk off sentiment, a lot of these ETFs have way too much exposure to triple C's that I would argue you do not want in this environment. As a primary market in high yield was a bit slower due to the holiday weekend and shortened Friday session, there was about $10 billion in issuance that was all for liquidity support. The main thing that I want to talk about in high yield, then I'll be somewhat brief. So an area that has come to the forefront has been these fallen angels. Fallen angels is the term investors use to describe corporate credits that used to be investment grade, but were recently downgraded to high yield by the majority of the recognized credit agencies. So it's important to look at these because fallen angels tend to imply a more meaningful default risk and reduced pricing. So we've already seen such names, established names as Occidental, Macy's, and Ford fall under this category. And I'm seeing that estimates show another $300 to $400 billion of investment grade debt could fall into high yield in the next 2 years. And it's important to identify these names early because spread widening can take place up to 30 days before their downgrade. And so risk-averse investors should identify these names and get out rather early. But from the opposite standpoint, oftentimes high-yield downgrades brings lots of forced sellers into the market. So these are investors who have mandates to stay in investment-grade securities. And so that leads to actionable buy levels much lower than market valuation. So it's not terribly uncommon to see these fallen angels have a little bit of a bounce back once high-yield investors can get a bite at the apple. And so some names on fallen angel watch, so these are still investment-grade credits, but names that are starting to be thrown around there are Energy Transfer Partners, Conagra Brands, Expedia, and Nordstrom. Those first three names have seen pretty good performance recently, but Nordstrom has kind of followed the onslaught of bad news for brick and mortar retail industry. So that's what really I'm focused on in high yield. I'll send it back to
you. The Fed actually in their announcement to buy bonds now can buy bonds that were investment grade up to a certain date in March, which includes issuers like Ford that have subsequently been downgraded into that fallen angel category. So there's this implied subsidy from the Fed buying. Correct. Also.
Am I wrong? For the fallen angels, it's only 5 years in, right? Wasn't that the...
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So on a closing note here, guys, I want to end on a interesting note, not a necessarily a good note, but the Freddie brought up a couple weeks ago the concentration risk of the S&P 500 and been trying to navigate that through modeled portfolio strategy and asset allocation. But the top five stocks, which include Microsoft, Apple, Alphabet, Amazon, and Facebook, represent nearly 20% of the market value of the S&P 500. And a context for that is that, less than 10 years ago, it would have only been 10%. But to have that much concentration is we're near record levels in terms of concentration risk. For the S&P 500, the top 10 stocks represent over 25%. A quarter of the market value are concentrated in 10 stocks now. And so what that does is this concentration effect causes a more volatile price movement than what a more diversified index would, and then has a higher embedded risk in the portfolio. So these five stocks have done really, really well during the crisis. And to some extent, that's masking what's happening in the overall market, especially when you look at consumer and raw materials. I mean, everything other than healthcare, let's just put it that way. And so in terms of portfolio modeling and asset allocation, it's a conundrum and something that I think we have to address through the summer months. Right now, it's actually, it's working. But the real issue is, what do you do when it doesn't work? So with that, let me end this. And we will talk to you during the week. And you guys have a great week. And we'll talk to you then. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.